Well, welcome, Lois, to our history project about schooling in Leverett. We're so glad that you could come and share your memories with us. And maybe just for the sake of the recording, if everyone could just say their name, who's here, and then we'll have it on the tape together. I'm Susan Marinak from the Leverett Historical Commission.
I'm Phoebe Young.
Lois Black Mono.
Edie Field from the Historical Commission.
And Sarah Robinson from the Historical Commission.
Excellent. So I don't know how you want to begin, but maybe Lois, you have some things that you'd like to start with. I know the kids have some questions that they're interested in finding out about. And we have some questions that they gave us too, but maybe just for you to start. And just talk to us a little bit about which school you went to and what grades and, you know, just whatever comes to mind.
Okay. So I had first grade at the North Leverett School. It's located next to the church in North Leverett. And it was one room, one teacher. In grades 1 through 4. My sister was there with me and she was in fourth grade. Her name is Ruth. And I was in first grade. In the winter time, there was a wood stove in the center of the room. And I believe there was a wrought iron fence around it so that children didn't get burned. But when we came in from recess, we would leave our boots there and hang our mittens and our jackets if they were wet on those on the fence. So that would be loaded down with jackets and mittens and hats, and we would be walking around in our stocking feet. Otherwise, when you came to school in the morning, there was what we called the cloak room, which was the coat room, and that was as you entered the school, it would be right there, and everybody would hang their jackets up and put their boots there and, you know, their hats and mittens, and this is, of course, wintertime. And then recess was, you'd go out the back door to the yard, and there was a wooden wooden swings, and a seesaw, two seesaws. I think that was it. I don't think we had any jungle gym or anything. I don't remember if we had one of those round things.
Merry-go-round?
No, that would have been nice. you know, where you push and jump on. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if we had that. I don't think we had that. I think we just had the swings. And, of course, the brook ran right along the edge of the property, and the boys would always try to sneak down to the brook. And the teacher would have to go and get them, and you know, she was always yelling at them to come get back up here. And that the outhouses were right near there too, right near the brook. And that's, you know, where the restrooms were. Mm-hmm. There would be one for boys and one for girls. And yeah, okay, now let's see what you have for questions. I give you something to think about.
Okay. So what do you think is the most significant difference between when you went to school and now?
Well, the biggest difference was all of the grades were in one room together and one teacher. Mrs. Truesdell was the teacher, Truesdell. She stayed with the school system after the new school was built here and remarried, and her name was Mrs. Dunbar. So, but Back then she was Mrs. Truesdell. And she would teach one class while the other children had lessons that they were to work on quietly. Then she would move to the next class and teach them something. And then, you know, as I said, all the other students would be working on their reading or penmanship or something. And she kept order. You know, once in a while, a boy would, you know, throw a spitball or something. And I was very shy, and one of the boys just came over and just slid in next to me on my seat. I was mortified, and of course the teacher made him go back to his own desk. But you know, there was just little things like that. If a child really disrupted the class, the teacher would discipline him with her ruler. She had a thicker ruler than the rest of us, and it was longer. It might have been a yardstick. We called it a ruler. And the boy, it was usually a boy. I don't remember a girl getting the ruler. But you have to hold his hands out like this, upright, you know, palms upright. And she would just whack him, you know, just hit him on the hands with the ruler. So it must have stung. I never was disciplined, but one boy threw up, and she sent him home. Everybody walked to school, so he lived nearby. He just went home. But most of them, you know, just were quietly taking their discipline. But once or twice, a child would cry. But you know, tears were kind of common. And we just basically ignored it. For mild infractions, you would stand in the corner. That was pretty common. If you did something, you know, disruptive for the class, you'd stand in the corner. I don't think it was very effective, because the child in the corner would be giggling, and then everybody else would be giggling. And, you know, there weren't enough corners for all of us, so it's just, you know, teacher put up with a lot of things. But I would say, honestly, I remember, you know, more order than things that were disruptive. So that's basically your difference. Do you have another question?
How many students were in your class?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that.
Do you know about how many?
I remembered a lot of the students, and I wrote their names down, and I added up 24, but that wasn't just in my class. That was students that I do recall, it's across the grades. So I do remember, though, that my mother wrote in my baby book my classmates, and I couldn't find the baby book, but I think it was 7. It was a small number. Yeah.
Who were your age?
In my class.
Yeah,
in first
your
grade.
Grade.
In
there
first
were probably about like 30 students in the whole school.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You want some of the names of the students that were in my class?
Okay, sure.
And you can add them up. I mean, these are not all of them, and I probably can't remember all of them, but I do remember Lillian Williams and Philip Grant, Philip Howard, Amelia Sapia, A-M-E-L-I-A, right, Amelia? So that's 4. Yeah, go ahead. No, you take it. Most of them are upperclassmen. Yeah.
And Carol and Neil Swanson?
Yeah, I think Carol Swanson was a year ahead of me, and Neil was 2 years ahead of me. so they were not in the class. But so with me, it would be 5, right? I'm not positive there were 7 in my class. I'm just trying to remember, you know, having seen the list my mother made. It may be that there was just the 5 of us, but I'm probably forgetting somebody.
So the ones you have here on the list?
Yeah, they're older.
The first ones, are your classmates?
No, they're all mixed in.
Oh, they're all mixed.
Yeah, these are just as I remembered people.
Leighton LeClaire.
Yeah, he was at least 1 year ahead of me.
At least?
Yeah. Maybe.
What year did you start?
1949 or 48. I was 5.
Yeah, because it was 19.
There was no kindergarten, by the way. And so my birthday fell in November, so school started in September. So I was still 5 when I started first grade. I graduated from high school in 1961, and I think Leighton graduated in 59. So I think he's 2 years older than me. So he would have been 3rd grade, right? I was 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he would have been 3rd. So a lot of these are 3rd, and 1 or 2 are 4th grade. Yeah.
Okay. Philip Graham.
He was my class. Yeah.
Isn't he was Katie Aiken's son.
Yes.
Isn't he the pastor?
He is.
At the North Corner Church?
His son is Michael.
He is a pastor, though. He is a pastor, but his son Michael is the pastor there.
Yeah.
So what games did you play?
At school, at recess, we played the farmer one. What's that?
A farm in the dell?
Yes. And
tag?
Tag. Mm-hmm.
Hide and seek?
I don't think we played hide and seek. That would have been really challenging for the teacher with the woods there and the... Oh, and I want to mention something because this is kind of... this was part of our folklore in Leverett. But there was a man. I guess he was harmless, but he was, I think he lived on Jackson Hill Road, or he lived in the woods on Jackson Hill Road. He would hang around the school, but he was mostly hanging around the brook. And the kids, we all knew, because he would like to demonstrate, that he would pick frogs out of the brook and he would eat them. Like that. Yes. So yeah, that was kind of the way we viewed him. And I can't remember his name, and it's probably just as well, because, you know, why?
Was it Dave?
Oh, it might have been.
I've heard tales about a Dave.
Might have been.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's the thing: the boys were fascinated with this man.
Yeah.
And of course, because this man was hanging around the brook, that was the every time they go to the restroom, and they'd be gone a while, the teacher would have to send somebody out to get them. Because they would be in the brook probably, with their shoes, but they would be with this man and, you know, watching him. And of course, he loved an audience, this man did. Hopefully he was harmless. I never heard of anything bad happening. But yeah, this was a temptation for a lot of the boys during recess. This man was always hanging around there.
Hmm.
Did you play softball or baseball?
I don't remember them doing that. Not in that location, not in the schoolyard. We did play dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was kind of a runt. I mean, I was small for my age.
Okay.
And I was, you know, younger than probably a lot of my classmates. So I was, the only thing I remember doing that was very physical at recess was shinnying up the poles that held the swings. By 7th grade, I had a phobia about height, but 1st grade, I was like climbing trees and everything. So Harry Shriver, and I would race. He would go up one pole and I'd go up the other. And he was a little guy too, so we were the little ones in the class. In that recess one day, well, I need to back up a little bit. When you had to ring the bell for recess, it was a cowbell. I don't know if you know what a cowbell is, and it was quite large. And the teacher would go in and get it and come out and stand by the back door and ring the bell, and then everybody would have to stop what they're doing in recess. And they would line up. We had to line up to go inside. So every day she would do that. And, you know, it worked quite well. Then one day, I was on the seesaw, and she rang the bell, and I was up on the seesaw. And the girl who was sitting opposite me just jumped off, and I went flying. Well, of course, I got hurt, and I cried, and the teacher came over, and she took me inside, and I guess we washed the bruise and put a Band-Aid on it. And from that day on, Mrs. Truesdell would come and get me when it was time to ring the bell. And I was the one that stood by the door and rang the bell.
Oh.
So I would have the kids as they passed by me, and they'd say, "Teacher's back, teacher's back." But
that's
I guess
cute.
She didn't want any more accidents.
Oh, that's a great story.
Would you like to know about the fact that we didn't have running water? So what we did was, when everyone arrived and we did attendance, and we saluted the flag, and we recited the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Mrs. Truesdell would read from the Bible, one verse, I think, from the Bible. It was standard. And then she would immediately assign two of the older boys, and she'd give them a pail, and they had to walk to the neighbors to get water for drinking. So this would be our drinking water for the day. I think we used the brook water to wash our hands. I think she had that in another pail. So the boys, you know, it would be different boys each day, or if some proved that they weren't reliable, spilling most of it, you know, all the way back. Or fooling around and, you know, splashing each other, or taking extra time and they didn't get to go again, then, you know, she had assigned some other boys. I don't remember her ever assigning girls. That's interesting to know, because we take all of this for granted, you know, today.
That we're just as strong as the boys.
I imagine they were probably a lot more reliable, but you know that we could only wear dresses.
Oh.
We could not wear pants. We could wear, in the wintertime, we could wear pants under our dresses, but when we got to school, we had to remove those pants.
Mm.
Or the ski pants, we called them. Today they're snow pants.
Mm-hmm.
We called them ski pants. It would take a lot of time for all of us to get dressed into, you know, our gear to go out to recess in the wintertime. And almost didn't even pay to go out, because it took so long. Teacher was helping some of us, you know, with our mittens, with our boots and everything to go out to recess. You know, it was like, you just get out there and the time is up. But we still got out. We went out. We got a lot of fresh air.
Do you guys go out in the winter still?
Yeah.
Even when it's cold?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
How long
was your recess?
I'm sorry?
How long was your recess?
You know, I don't remember. It's probably standard, so whatever time you have for recess is probably what we had. I don't know. One of the things you wouldn't ask, because you wouldn't know about this, but we had Mrs. Truesdell taught the things like arithmetic and reading and that kind of thing. But we had other teachers who would come to the school on a monthly basis, on a regular schedule. One of them taught art, one taught music, and one taught penmanship. Penmanship, I don't think that was even a subject when I even got to second grade. But it was big in first grade. And it must, well, it must have been big for the one-room schoolhouse, because that was a man, and he taught it to all classes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, you know, handwriting. And I was just learning cursive. So it was, I loved writing, and I loved making the letters, and I would practice and practice and practice with my cursive. And I can remember being so proud when he would, you know, praise my letters. And the music teacher, the music was fun, and art was fun, you know. And we looked forward to these teachers coming, because we only saw them once a month.
Mm.
Yeah. And then we had, and this is a tough memory for me, but we had a doctor and a nurse come to the school like once a year. The doctor would check our ears, check our sight, you know, give us like a little bit of a visual test. And like hearing, and this was so embarrassing. We would have to undress to our underwear, and there was like a screen at the end of that the doctor set up at like the one end of the room, and we would dress behind there, and I think the boys went to recess while the girls were being examined, and vice versa, like that. So back then in first grade, I had what is called an undershirt underneath my dress. And I guess to do the check the heart and stuff, we had to take, you know, if other girls had these undershirts on, I don't know. But, yeah, I imagine some of them did. We had to take those off. So we were, like, in just our panties. And, of course, I was totally mortified, because I was so shy anyway. And even though the nurse was there, there was this doctor, right? So I was in a really big hurry to get dressed again and get this over with. And as soon as, you know, you were done, you could go back out. You could go outside for recess. So I got dressed in a hurry, and I went outside for recess. And then at the end of, when the doctor was finished with everybody, all the students had been seen, we were all back in our classroom. Everybody's in the classroom. The teacher is up front, and the doctor and the nurse are getting ready to leave. And so the doctor hands the teacher a piece of clothing that somebody had left behind. You know, one of the children. Teacher holds it up like this, and it's my undershirt.
No, no.
And she says, "Who belongs to this?" And I just sat there and stared to the floor, you know. And I was just praying that my sister didn't recognize it. And so she holds it up again. "Somebody belongs to this. It must be somebody here. Whose is it?" Everybody's looking around, so I'm looking around. I'm looking at, you know, the other kids. And I'm just praying and praying that she would just stop doing that. So pretty soon she just puts it aside, apparently, you know, because it was over. Thank God it was over. So then my sister and I are walking home after school. We had to go up Mill Hill because it was the shortest way home, and that's a steep hill. And we got about halfway up Mill Hill, and Ruthie says to me, "I know that was your t-shirt." "I know that was your undershirt." And I said, "Well, don't tell anybody. I'm never going to take it. I'm never going to claim it." So we get home, and Ruthie tells my mother. And my mother had a fit about it. She was furious. "You left your undershirt? Well, you go back there and get it. You get it tomorrow." And I said, "No way. There's no way I'm claiming that thing in front of everybody." So I think my mother went down to school with us, and she picked it up. But I just could not claim that t-shirt. Oh my gosh, it was just awful.
Oh.
That is very cute. What a great story.
You remember that detail.
Oh, yeah. Very traumatic.
You girls have some more questions?
Okay. Was it cold inside of your school in the winter?
You know, knowing how wood heat is, and apparently that wood stove was the only heat we had, it must have been a little bit chilly if you weren't sitting right next to the stove, but I don't recall that being a problem, you know.
Well,
now
we had
to have electricity,
right?
Because we didn't have candlelight or anything.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, what?
I think you get used to whatever conditions,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
if it's cooler, that's what you're used
yeah,
to, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure we all had layers on because we walked to school and walked home, and so you would normally, in the winter anyway, you would be wearing layers, so you would have, you know, probably a sweater, long sleeve jersey or something, or long socks, you know, I remember long socks. And, I don't remember it being cold.
Was it cramped in your school?
Was it what?
Cramped. Like, were there a lot of people?
It didn't seem crowded. The desks were placed in rows, you know, like not in a circle and not haphazard or anything. They were in even rows, you know. Our desks were some of them, I think the chairs were attached to the base of the desktop and, you know, the desk. But in a lot of cases, I think it was separate chair. But you were pretty close, so the person behind you was very close to you, and you were close to the one in front of you. The girl who sat behind me was not in the first grade. And this was an odd setup, but we were not, it wasn't like a row of first graders and a row of second graders. We were kind of more or less this way, you know, side beside me would be a first grader. Behind me was a fourth grader.
Hmm.
And I remember her very well because I had long hair, and she would take the ends of my hair and dip them in her inkwell. It was awful. I hated it, but I was afraid to raise my hand to tell the teacher. So I wrote a little note, and I passed it, you know, to my sister, because my sister was my savior there. And so when my sister got the note, she raised her hand, and she told the teacher that, I won't say the name, but this girl was, you know, dunking my hair in her inkwell. We had pens, and we had ink in our, we had an inkwell that was built into the desk. If you come across one of these old desks, you'll see the hole there, and that's where this inkwell fit. And so we would dip our pens in there and write with that, and it was really nice to use those pens to do your cursive letters for your penmanship teacher. So this girl, she just thought it was funny to have my hair dipped in ink. So, yeah, my sister was, I relied on her, you know, big sister, to fight my battles for me. And if I had to go to, I needed to go to the outhouse, I also passed the note to my sister, and she would get permission from Mrs. Druso to take me to the outhouse. Because, you know, I was just so shy. So Mrs. Joseph seemed to really, take pity on me, I think.
She sounds like a good teacher who understood the children, right?
She was really good. She really was very understanding. Yeah. I don't think I ever saw her really angry. Even when she was slapping a boy's hands, you know, with a ruler, I can imagine it didn't please her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was very good.
So So what time did school start?
Oh my, I don't remember. I know that once or twice, I think my sister and I actually walked home for lunch, but most of the time we took our lunch, and everybody did. I mean, there was no hot lunches or anything. We just, we packed a bag lunch and we had lunch. I even think we had lunch at our desk, but I really can't recall. Maybe somebody else able to recall that. We, maybe in nice weather we had it outside. I imagine we might have done that.
What did you have for lunch?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember. It was whatever my mother packed, you know. Yeah. And then we would have the water that we had gotten, you know, from the neighbors, and there would be like a big ladle, and the teacher would, you know, pour it into cups for us. I know when I spoke with, many years later, I spoke with Clarissa LeClaire and Lois Truesdell, Dunbar she was at that time, about some of their memories. They remembered on occasion a family or a parent would bring hot soup or something in, and she'd keep it warm on the stove, and we would have like hot soup. But I don't remember having that, so I imagine I did, but I don't know if it was before, excuse me, before I was in first grade, I don't know. But that would be the only way we would have any hot meal or anything, you know, hot, would be if a parent provided something like that.
That's pretty special.
Yeah.
What were your classmates like?
I'm sorry?
What were your classmates like?
Everybody was pretty well behaved. The girls especially were. Maybe they all weren't as quiet and scared to death as me. That's really, you know, all it took for me was, I mean, I was shy anyway, but all it took for me was that first time, and I'll never forget that first time that the teacher exercised her right to hit the student with a ruler. And after I witnessed that, you can believe me, I was a model student. Especially because he threw up.
Do you ever remember being bullied at school?
Not bullied. Not me, anyway. But there was a girl who claimed that she was being, you know, picked on. I didn't witness it, but this would be if something at recess. It had to do with an incident that involved the outhouse, and she claimed, you know, that they tried to put her down the hole. I didn't. She was always dressed very well. She always had pretty clothes. I don't remember them ever being soiled, so I don't know if that was true or if it happened when I wasn't around, but you know, it not to say it wasn't a possibility, could have happened. I mean, you know, anything could happen. I mean, a child could be thrown in the brook, you know. Sometimes kids were fooling around and they'd fall in the brook. But maybe, you know, somebody got pushed in the brook. I don't know. It was, like I said, it was on the edge of our yard there where we had recess. So it was always a temptation. But, I mean, you know, you hear different things. But I personally, you know, wasn't picked on. Except for the girl who, you know, dipped my hair in the ink. there wasn't anything else that I recall that was, you know, traumatic for me.
When you went to school there, you went 2 years in North Leverett?
No, I was only there for first grade,
only.
And then the next year, this school was ready.
Okay.
And I came here for second grade.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And that was very, very different, because it was the first time that classes were separated in a different room with a different teacher. Mrs. Truesdale was still a teacher, and I think she took on third grade.
Third and fourth.
Yeah. And so when I went to second grade, I'd like to say I remember my teacher. I do remember what she looked like, but I don't remember her name. And I remember that...
was it Mrs. Madison?
That doesn't ring a bell.
Mrs. Watson?
No. She was a young woman. And she had dark hair, kind of short, dark hair that was like a page boy style. I can't remember her name, but I liked her. I liked all my teachers, probably until I got to high school. But she was very nice.
And how did it differ? I mean, so the grades were separated.
Mm-hmm.
So second and first were still together, right?
If you say, if Sarah said that third and fourth were together, then probably first and second were in a room together,
they
too.
Were when I
yeah.
Worked,
yeah. So I imagine, you know, I probably knew a handful of the students, but that meant all of the one-room schoolhouses in Leverett. And there were probably four, right? Maybe four. Then they merged into this new school. So there were a lot of children I didn't know.
Mm.
And then I no longer had my big sister there too for me. So it was, it had to grow up really fast.
Mm.
My big experience, that traumatic experience that I remember from second grade, well, two things. And this is kind of getting off the subject because we're not talking about a one-room schoolhouse now. But in second grade, we started having field trips, something we didn't have. I don't remember having, you know, in first grade. And our first field trip was to the fire tower.
At Mount Toby.
Mount Toby.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, in addition to our teacher, we had... mothers, you know, who came to help chaperone, because I imagine it must have been our class combined with another class probably for this field trip. And here I had come from the one-room schoolhouse and the recess equipment, you know, being kind of scarce, and shinnying up the poles, climbing up poles to the swings. Which incidentally, I'm surprised the teacher didn't stop us. you know, and then I went into second grade, and all of a sudden, I wasn't aware of it, but I didn't know that I had become suddenly fearful of heights. I didn't know that I had this phobia until second grade, and we went on this field trip to the tower. So I was in a group of children, and every few children, maybe every five, six children, there would be an adult going up these narrow stairs, these steps, to go up the tower. So I got up about halfway, and something happened to me. I was just filled with the compulsion to jump. I mean, just felt that I was in pain, my body was in pain, and I had never experienced anything like this, and I just froze. And I felt that I had to get rid of the pain, and the only way to get rid of the pain was to jump.
Mm.
And I was really high up, and I was so frozen that I really couldn't move, so that kept me from jumping, but I couldn't move. And everybody behind me starts, you know, yelling, move, move, move. And I couldn't move.
Mm.
And the woman that was, she was about three children ahead of me, one of the parents. And I don't remember who she was, but she was so kind. She recognized the problem. And she climbed over these children, and she got to me. And she said, we're going to go down. And she led me. We climbed over all the kids and the parent. And she got me down on the ground, and she stayed with me. I didn't understand what was happening to me. I didn't know what it was called. I had never experienced it before. But that mm. was, and I've been that way ever since, mm. about height. It was a very sudden thing, and I had been climbing trees at home and everything, and then all of a sudden I was, you know, I had this phobia.
Wow.
But I'll always appreciate that lady. I don't remember who she was, but she was very understanding, and, you know, I felt really guilty, and I felt, you know, everybody was against me, you know, because, you know, I had disrupted everything, and I didn't understand, and it was really traumatic for me.
Mm.
But she was very, very kind and understanding. She kept telling me it was all right.
Oh, that's so great,
yeah.
Isn't it? That somebody was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other traumatic thing that happened to me in second grade, and then I'll stop about talking about second grade, but I was in the habit of, I don't know why, my mother let me, but I was in the habit of having hot tea for breakfast. And I was sitting at breakfast, you know, on a school day, and went to take the tea bag out, and I tipped over the cup, and it landed in my lap. And I jumped up, and of course this was boiling hot water. She had just poured it. I jumped up. I had my pajamas on, and they were made of a jersey material. And I took the bottoms off, and when I took the bottoms off, the skin went with it.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was really painful. For the next, I don't know how many weeks, while I was being treated by a doctor and suffering, the teacher dropped off my lessons,
mm.
and I kept up with the class. That was pretty awful.
Wow, that is scary.
Did the teacher let you drink tea?
You know, I think she did. I still drink it. I just had to be more careful.
That was a very kind teacher.
Well, you spoke earlier about not liking to get out of bed.
Oh, yeah.
Could you tell that story again?
Well, when I got to high school, I have to back up and tell you what happened to make me that way. Because not that I, you know, wasn't naturally a person who likes to sleep in. But what was going on was my sister and I, Ruthie, we liked to stay up and watch Jack Parr. He was the first late night host on TV. And so we were up really late. And then I couldn't get to sleep. And then when I finally got to sleep, then, you know, it was almost time to get up to go to school. So I had an awful time getting out of bed. And my bedroom was on the second floor, and we had some very steep stairs. They're still steep. My mother is a really little person. You know, she's very quick, even though today she's 98. She's still pretty quick. So she would run up those stairs, and she would try to get me out of bed, and she'd take my covers off, and I'd pull them back up, and then she'd start at the foot of the stairs and yell, you know, get up, Lois, get up. Of course, Ruthie was always up on time and ready and waiting. And so when she couldn't get me up by yelling, then she'd come up the stairs and she'd take the covers off, and then, you know, she'd try that, and then she'd go down the stairs. Well, a lot of mornings when she started down those stairs, she'd slip and she'd fall the whole length of the stairs.
Mm.
And when I heard her do that, I jumped out of bed. And then I got to the point where I would accuse her of falling down the stairs on purpose to get me out of bed. I don't really know. I don't know if she did on purpose. But she really fell down those stairs a lot of mornings, and I got right up. Yeah, I wasn't easy. I wasn't easy to raise.
Oh.
What did math books look like?
Math? Mm-hmm. Well, that would be first grade, so I think we were just like adding new, just single numbers, you know, not double digits, probably. I don't know. I only really remember how my numbers looked, because I was always so meticulous about how my cursive letters looked and how my numbers looked. I hated math. I still hate math. And I think that the only thing I liked was writing the numbers. I don't really think I enjoyed adding them up. But yeah, I mean, I got through it. But, you know, it was just something that I had to do. Yeah, reading was my favorite, you know, and penmanship. And then in the upper grades, English was always, you know, my favorite subject.
Did you have a math book or a math workbook?
I think so. I know we had a math book. I don't remember if we had workbooks. Usually we would turn in our papers, you know, we would have to do our lessons on the papers, and she would collect the papers.
Then did she grade them and then hand them back
to
you, or?
I meant to bring I have my first grade report card, and I meant to bring that. I haven't actually looked at it in a while. But I believe the first marking period, at least, well, all of it apparently, the whole first grade, that I think you didn't get any letter grades. I think she basically, she wrote on it, you know, how I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, she was very kind. I think she probably was like that with all the students, you know, regardless. Because I didn't like math, but I probably did it all right, you know. But if I didn't do so well, I think she glossed over that a little bit to my parents. If there was anything she needed to talk to them about, she spoke with them personally,
mm-hmm.
in one-on-one. And I do remember my mother saying that, you know, well, you got to do better in this or something, you know. But yeah, I mean, I never failed anything, but yeah, she was very kind.
Was it possible to be held back grade?
It was. Mm-hmm. I knew children that were going to repeat a grade. I never did, but myself. But I mean, the student would probably have been a case where it made sense for that student to repeat, because knowing Mrs. Truesdell, I mean, she would have bent over backwards to try to work with a student to make sure they moved along. What did she write on? Oh, yes, we had a blackboard. Yeah. And they were black. They were black. And, she used that a lot. It was behind her desk. Her desk would be in the front of the room, and then she would be facing all the rows of desks. so she had a view of everybody, and she didn't miss anything. That's why, you know, I think she was very good to me, because she had to see all those notes I passed to my sister, because they had to pass over rows. My sister was like four rows, you know, from me. And the students in between were kind enough to, you know, today they would stop and read it. You know, but back then they all seemed to understand. Poor Lois, she's too shy to speak up. You know, just pass it on. You know,
I've forgotten that passing notes.
Mm. Yeah. Well, sometimes you know, a boy would stand in the corner for doing that, but it would be. Because he didn't do it quietly, I think, you know? I was very, you know, very quiet about it, you know? Like, in fact, I didn't even have to speak to the girl next to me. All I had to do was just show her, you know, this, and she knew exactly what to do.
I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about how comfortable you felt in the two different school environments. You know, the one room school sounds very comfortable, and coming over here was different,
right?
But did you get used to it, and did you, you know, what are your thoughts about that?
I think that it took me a long time to feel comfortable even in first grade, where in the one room schoolhouse, just because it was just because of me being, you know, a new experience and being so shy.
Sure.
So over the summer, I can remember how many times, oh my gosh, how many times my mother would remind me, you know, when you go into the next school, you know, Ruthie's not going to be there with you. She's not going to be in the room with you. So it was like I had it drilled into me.
Mm.
And I think that because I don't remember that part of the experience being traumatic for me, I think that I probably had prepared myself mentally, and it was different because there were more students and I didn't know a lot of them, and it was a new teacher and a new school and a new classroom. Everything was new. Riding the bus was new. I'd never ridden a bus before. Everything was, you know, a new experience. But I liked learning, and I probably had grown up a little bit, you know, hopefully. I mean, I didn't get stuck there. They let me move on to the next grade, so I guess I made out all right. Yeah, because I don't remember anything very traumatic about it. I did have a traumatic experience at recess one day, though. I got hit by a baseball bat in the stomach and couldn't breathe, and yeah, it was scary. A teacher and everybody was hovering over me, and you know, I was just, gasping. The boy, you know, they were playing baseball, and he swung the bat, and it got me right in the stomach. But I survived it. So, yeah, I don't remember a whole lot about that second grade, which I imagine it was quite a challenge for me.
And then did you stay here for third and fourth and fifth and sixth as well?
I stayed here until junior high in Amherst.
Okay.
Yeah, went to Amherst for junior high, which would be the equivalent to middle school today. The junior high was in the old high school building, the old brick building, I think it was, wasn't it, brick?
Did you have gym class?
We must have had gym class once we got to the school here. We must have had gym, but honestly I don't remember. But I certainly had it, you know, in junior high, in high school. And we had uniforms for gym. Do they do that today? Uniforms?
Not
I have no idea.
Not yet.
Hmm?
Not in this school.
But in some that you know of?
I'm not sure.
Do you think they do it in middle school?
I doubt it.
So they what do they carry shorts with them or something, and they wear shorts or sweatpants or something, or do they wear what they wore to school?
They probably just wear what they wore to school.
Well, of course, it's a lot.
I mean, like, if they decide to wear, like, something that's bad for a gym, then they might want to bring something.
I think I got all the way through high school before it was common. Now, I don't know if it was a rule or not, but before it was common for girls to wear pants, slacks. I think I got all the way through high school before we were, any girl wore slacks to school. Yeah, that was 1961 when I graduated. Mm-hmm. It was either not allowed or it was just really frowned upon, I guess.
Or the fashion. Maybe it just wasn't the fashion. Ladies, skirts were much more, that trend hadn't started yet.
Women
could feel like they needed to have fun.
But at the same time, we were wearing hats and gloves to church.
Yes.
As a teenager. Oh, yes, you wouldn't go to church without hats on, at least. Gloves were optional, but remember that, Sarah?
I don't remember.
No, see, that's before your time.
Yeah. I'm so much younger. I don't remember the hats too much. I liked it. Easter time, I'd get a hat.
This was every Sunday.
Did you ever have a man teacher?
I actually had a man teacher in elementary school, Mr. Berquist. I didn't like Mr. Breakfast. Oh, my goodness. Well, he's probably not alive now. I don't know. It's probably B-E-R-Q-U-I-S-T. He was handsome, tall, and I'm trying to think what grade he taught. Maybe fifth?
I think it was the upper grade.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Did you have 7th and 8th here before you went to Amherst?
I'm trying to...
Because I remember I was the first 6th grade class that was separate from the last class this week.
Yeah, I think when I started junior high, it was more grades in junior high than they have today for middle school. Mm-hmm. What do they have today for middle school?
7th and 8th.
7th and 8th. All right.
We had 7th, 8th, and 9th in middle school.
I almost think I had 3 grades into junior high and 3 in senior high. I think I had 7th, 8th, and 9th in junior high. And then I went to high school for 10, 11, 12. Hmm. I think that's what it was.
I still think that range weird.
What's that?
Yeah.
I still think that's weird.
Oh, yeah, I know. We talked about that.
Getting back to my male teacher, he was the first time, except for the penmanship teacher that came to the one-room schoolhouse, Mr. Berquist was the first male teacher that I had on a regular basis. And that might be why I had a negative reaction to him. But he was handsome, I'll give him that. And he probably was a good teacher. But yeah. I just didn't like him.
Are there other particular things that you guys were hoping to ask about?
What did you do on snow days?
They never closed school. Never. I do remember one day, I think when I was going to Amherst, so that would be either middle school or junior high or high school, that we started out on the bus and we came to some ice, spun around, bus spun all the way around. In fact, we were hesitant to even go to school. my mother was watching out the window, and she saw the bus come down the hill, you know.
Cave Hill?
No, the hill that we saw from our window was, you know, coming down from West Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she saw a bus come down sideways. It was coming down sideways.
Oh.
So it was, I don't think that was my bus. But anyway, she told us, and she said, I don't know if, you know, you're either going to, I don't know if you're going to go to school. But they hadn't called at all. So we went. Oh, I want to tell you, girls, because this is probably something you wouldn't ever dream of, but my sister Ruthie and I were the only school-age children on Hemingway Road up until almost until I finished school, high school. All those years, we were like the only children to be bused, so we weren't bused. So they wouldn't come for us. So we, I think the elementary, they had a bus for the elementary students that lived on Hemingway Road. But we were the only school-age children that they didn't bus, I think. That was it. Because we were, she went to New Salem Academy and I went to Amherst. So we met her bus at the four corners of Hemingway, Jackson Hill Road, Cave Hill. Cave Hill. Why do they call it four corners?
Well, Cave Hill goes through.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mother would always drive us over there in the morning to get the bus. I would ride my sister's bus down to the center of North Leverett and get off and wait for the bus from Amherst. So, anyway, so on winter days when it was really nasty out and they didn't close school, my father would hitch one of our horses. We had workhorses. They were like Clydesdales, you know, maybe not quite as big, but they were, you know, big like that. And he had what he called a sled, but it was handmade. He made it, and it had runners, and it had boards across so you could sit on them, but your feet, you know, were kind of like dangling into the dirt or the snow or whatever on the road. And we lived on a dirt road. And so he would hitch the horse up to this sled, and he would take my sister and I to meet the bus on snowy days and winter days when my mother didn't want to drive over to the Four Corners. So so that was kind of interesting, because I don't know how many students got to ride something like that. I didn't think it was so neat. I mean, you know, it's cold, it's snow in your face. Your feet are dangling, you know, if you can't just put them up high and put them on one of the other boards, and it was inconvenient. But I did it. Yeah.
It's better than walking.
It was. There were a lot of days, though, that when I got off my bus would bring me there from Amherst. It would bring me to the Four Corners at the end of the day, and my sister would get home earlier because, you know, New Salem's let out earlier, so she would already be home. My mother wouldn't be waiting for me. A lot of days she didn't wait for me. She didn't come pick me up there, and I would have to walk home. And during hunting season, I would whistle and sing all the way home so I wouldn't get shot. And then, of course, it didn't help that I had a brown coat. But I have to tell you a little story about one time in high school, just talking about how, you know, transportation. I had to stay after school one day because I was purchasing a typewriter. They were getting rid of the regular manual typewriters. I was in high school, and I purchased one. We could purchase them if we wanted, because they were switching to electric typewriters. So I was thrilled to death that my parents said I could have this typewriter. Well, I couldn't carry it on the bus with all my books. So my mother said she'd come down to Amherst and pick me up. So I'm waiting outside the school, and there's a lot of kids there, you know, waiting for the bus and everything. And I'm probably in 10th grade, maybe. So I've got all my books and I've got the typewriter and I'm waiting at the curb for my mother and I'm watching for my mother's car, you know. And it didn't come and it didn't come. Pretty soon, I see my father's horse truck. You know, big letters, Nat Black and Sons on the side. I mean, you can't avoid this thing. It's a big thing. And it's coming, winding through the, you know, the drive up to the school. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm looking around to see who's around me. And, you know, what friends are there. And I'm like, mortified. And Dad pulls right up in front of me. What could I do? You know, I had to go home, so I grabbed my books and I got the typewriter and I'm trying to get into the cab with everything, you know, as fast as I can so nobody was going to see me. And I got in and I shut the door and I put the typewriter down on the floor and I'm like this, and Dad looked at me and he says, "Hi," and I said, "Hi, let's go." we get out of the drive part, we start heading home, and he says, "Well, I'll never do that again." And I said, "Do what?" He says, "I'll never come pick you up with a truck again." He said, "If you could see the look on your face when I pulled up," he said, "I'll never do that again."
Oh, that's so sweet, isn't it?
Well, I did feel a little bad. At that point.
Oh,
but he took it pretty well. But he never did come give me a thing.
Oh, thank you so much, Lois. I don't know what's your guys' schedule. Do you have to go back at a certain time for your class, or do you know what comes next for you?
We can stay as long as we want.
Can you?
Okay. Give us as much as we want to.
Okay.
Good.
We don't want to make you late for anything.
You have a very nice teacher, too.
As long as we don't miss recess or lunch.
Oh.
The important parts of the day.
You know, we can come back after recess and lunch.
Are you enjoying this?
It's better than class.
Well, you should really appreciate that you have a cafeteria and you have, you know, hot lunches. Yeah, because that, you know, we all didn't have that at one time.
Mm. Today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And this building has changed a lot since came here, hasn't it?
Yes.
It's grown.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until Sarah was reminding us about how it was just 4 classrooms to begin with.
Yeah.
This was one, right? And then there were 3 others.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal was also a teacher, you said?
Yes.
They were. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when the first edition went on. I don't know the year.
Well, when I interviewed your mother and Mrs. Dunbar, they had the portable classroom or something in part of the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
because they were in the process of, or they were close to, getting ready to build on.
Oh, okay.
So that, what year was that?
In the 80s? Was that in the 80s or 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that
awful?
I have no idea.
I think it was the 80s.
It's on the tape, the date, but I can't think offhand when that was. I'm thinking it was 90s.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it was in the 90s. Mm. It was probably early 90s.
Because I know there was a whole process. It took many years, right, for the new addition to be built.
Because I think they used that portable classroom for a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It might even be on that tape. The portable classroom might be seen on that tape. I don't know, because I took some video of children at the playground out here.
Although we moved back to Leverett in 75, and then when Gail was in third grade, she was in the new edition.
She was in the new edition?
She was, I remember that now. So it was in mid-70s, maybe.
Mm.
Really? Okay.
The first edition.
Oh, all right.
But then there was another
one,
right?
Okay, so I'm probably thinking of the second edition,
maybe,
because it was in the 90s. I'm pretty sure that when I did that.
Probably.
That tape. Well, your mother was still around, and Mrs. Dunbar and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was
in
the 90s.
We'll have to look at library records. Do you girls have some more questions you'd like to have answered?
Oh, do you think you remember what year you started first grade in?
Well, it would have been the school year probably of, 1948 and 1949. I think this school was ready in 1950.
That's right.
And then I went into second grade, and I was born in 1943, and I started school the year I turned six. So 49, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a long time ago.
Just yesterday.
Yeah, in my mind it was just yesterday.
Obviously, from your memory, my husband.
Yeah.
Yes, you remember so many wonderful things. Very, very exciting. And it's interesting to, did you become friends with some of the children from the other one-room schools once you were here?
Oh, yes. One of my first friends was Donna Groh, and she lived right near the school.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the bird lady's sister, Julie Groh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Donna became a minister.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But certainly have lost touch, but you know, back then she was one of the first friends that I...
Did you know any of the Fields?
Yes. But Emily was a good friend of my sister Janice. Janice was like 4.5 years younger than me. By the time she went to school, she always rode the bus. She never had to walk anywhere, or, you know, my mother never had to take her. The bus always came right to the house for her. And I think it was like the year after I graduated high school or something. It was like, finally there's a bus, right? But now I'm not going. Yeah, Ruthie and I were the ones that, we were like the pioneers of our street or something, you know.
Well, and that street is still a dirt road.
It's still a dirt road, yes.
So it's nice to hear that even though the children didn't know each other when they came together in the school, that they did make friends.
Yes. Yeah, we all mingled pretty good. And then we used to have field day with the rest of the union, the school union.
Mm-hmm.
And I had cousins in Irving. So
mm-hmm.
on field day, I would see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was kind of neat.
Where did you go somewhere for field day?
We did, but I don't think we went to the same place every year. We might have held it at different schools.
Mm.
It was always where there was plenty of room, you know, to have these
games,
competitions.
And
you know, we had three-legged races. We had running. I was a good runner. I usually, the only one who could beat me was Rita Kaminsky. she always beat me, and sometimes just by one step. But she was always one step ahead of me. Yeah, but I was a good runner. I credit my cousin, and I won't give his name, for training me to be a runner. When I was little, he used to like to find snakes and chase me. You know I wasn't going to be caught.
And you saw a runner.
Absolutely was I a runner. Yeah, I could outrun him. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I got some blue ribbons, you know, for that field day. I even won a three-legged race, too, with one of the girls. And you won't believe where we practiced. when I think about it today, just cringe. we had a field trip to Mount Sugarloaf, and she and I, we tied our, you know, our two legs together and ran down the road from Sugarloaf. Yeah.
Wow.
To practice, but we were really good at it. And
it
didn't
you must
fall.
Have been. You
it
must
was all,
have been.
All cement. I mean, paved, you know. So it would have hurt, you know, if we'd fallen, but we never thought about that. We were really, really good. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we won a couple different years, a three-legged race.
Do you ever remember hosting field day at Leavitt?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm thinking we might have, because I think it, we had it every year, and it was all of the schools in the union, and I don't think we always went to the same place, so it's possible, but I don't really remember, you know, whether it was here or it's Irving or I kind of think we moved around, that it wasn't always in the same place, but it was fun, and I don't know how long they kept that practice up, because my children went to the Irving schools, and I don't think they ever had periodics.
Yeah, the whole time I was here, they didn't.
No.
Well, they stayed right here.
Yeah.
Mm.
They didn't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
But the population was larger by then.
Right, yeah.
You guys got a lot of notes today.
Yeah, a lot of good stories.
Huh? Yeah, I can't wait to hear some of the others. You know, some of them that's, you know, spent more years in the one-room schoolhouses.
Well, it's really such a treasure for you all to share your memories with us, because otherwise, you know, I know you actually made a tape of an interview about the schools with the teachers.
Yeah.
But to hear people who were the students is really a wonderful gift. So thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you for asking.
Sharing.
I'm glad I can remember. I don't remember everything, of course. And
I remember a lot.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I had that experience, because I almost missed it, because, you know, the very next year, this school was ready. So it's not an experience that my younger sister had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just my sister Ruthie and I did have that, and I'm you know, really glad I had that experience, because it's unique.
It is.
Yeah.
Very intimate.
Yeah. If you ever, you girls ever go to the Old Deerfield,
I went to a field trip.
You did, and you went into the classroom.
Yeah.
It's very much like what I experienced, from what I remember going down there. You know, the way the desks are, and the way the desks look, and everything, and the blackboard. It reminds me very much of what we had.
Yeah, I went for a field trip there last year.
Yeah, that's good.
It's cold.
It's cold.
Well, when you have just wood heat, it only heats the area around the stove. So it's like, you know, it's supposed to hopefully heat up a room, but you know, you can walk, you know, away from the stove and be freezing. But I don't even remember the stove being there in good weather, I mean when winter was over, but I can't imagine them moving it out, so it must have been there. It's just probably got used to seeing it and didn't even think about it, you know.
Or maybe when it wasn't being used, people used it as a shelf.
You know, yeah, I don't know.
Books went on top of it or whatever.
Yeah, that's possible. You know, I do remember, though, we had upstairs from the school, the class, there was a stage. Do you remember that, Sarah?
Yes, yes.
And we did put our school programs on there for our parents. And we had also, I forgot to mention, in first grade, we had the Maypole dance. Do you ever do that? Did you do that in first grade? Where you have a pole and everybody has streamers and they go around and then you have to pick a queen and a king. Mrs. Truesdell picked me for the queen.
Wow.
I remember that.
And who was the king?
I don't remember. He was unimportant.
Maybe it was Leighton.
I don't really remember him. I don't remember him when I was in first grade. I know he was there because he had to be there. I just don't remember him. And it's funny, I don't remember him because he had a reputation for you know, disrupting a class.
Yes.
So it's interesting that I don't remember him. I do remember some of the other boys that disrupted the class. So maybe he hadn't honed his skill yet.
Maybe.
This is not recorded, right?
This is the kind of thing that you can ask to be left off the transcript.
I won't tell.
Well, I should tell you that he's my ex-husband.
Oh.
So it might be biased.
Well, he's the next one on our list.
He's going to be interviewed next week.
Well, I hope he doesn't remember me in first grade.
That'd be a good question.
Don't you dare. Don't you ask if he remembers me there. He probably remembers Ruthie. I was so quiet. Why would he remember me?
He remembers your undershirt.
Oh my gosh. Now he's going to know it was mine. Of course, that was part of the recording, wasn't it? Everybody in my class now knows. Oh my gosh.
You guys have to go to lunch soon.
No, that's cute.
Okay.
Do you?
Did we miss recess then?
Oh my gosh, did you?
Yeah. What time did it start?
I forget. What time is our recess start now?
Well, we better say thank you to Mrs. Mono, and you guys can traipse
back.
Thank
you, Chloe.
Did we miss
Zoe.
All of the science test?
Thank
you
oh
so much.
Oh my God. Well, thank you for coming. It's so wonderful that you're interested in doing this.
Yeah.
It's great.
And Zoe and Phoebe, you are fabulous.
Yeah,
I know I am.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Good.
We're hoping to work all of us together to put together some kind of a presentation at the library in May and June. We're going to have an exhibit about the one-room schools and the change over to the consolidated school, and maybe we'll have a program or something. And you know, we haven't planned any of that yet, but we'll do that through the winter.
Well, I did have a picture, you know, a group picture when I was in first grade. They took the picture outside the school, the whole school, right? And it would have been nice if I could have brought that in, you know, and shown you. But many years ago, somebody in my household, one of the members of my family when I was a kid, decided to eliminate me from that picture. And so first it was crayons over the face, and then it was scissors.
Oh no.
And I got cut out.
Oh.
Yes, no. I know who did
it. Take a picture
she
of
doesn't
you.
Admit it, but I know who did it. She was about 5 or 4 when she did it. Yeah.
Do you still have the picture, even though it was
somewhere my mother must have it. Yeah.
Well, that would be interesting. I mean, even if you
even
weren't.
Even though I'm cut out. Yeah. at least you can see the rest of the class. And Mrs. Drusel, you know, had her. She was standing with the group. Yeah.
Were they identified, the other kids?
My mother probably wrote on the back who they were. Yeah, if I saw their faces and I could see their
Do
faces,
they need to go?
With maybe a magnifying glass, I could probably remember who they were.
Wait, we're not missing reasons, are we?
This has been great.
All right, thank you so much.
You now and then
oh, no, you don't have to do that.
we need to anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Right, we can put it in that little picture.
Seriously? You really?